Hey everybody, this is Hector with Faith and Fandom, and a while back I did a poll online to see which chapters from book 6 you wanted as an audio version for the podcast, and the number one request was the Into the Spider-Verse chapter, so here I am to record it now. This isn't audible, it will have mistakes, and I'm going to steamroll right through this thing. So, Into the Spider-Verse, how will I know when I am ready? My relationship with Spider-Man has come a long way since I began this journey. When I started the first book, I couldn't stand Spider-Man. I skipped both Andrew Garfield movies, and I had pretty much accepted I was done with giving the web-slinger any attention. Then came Tom Holland, Civil War, Homecoming, and a general upswing in my warmth level for Spider-Man. The Spider-Man game being a PlayStation exclusive almost tipped me back in the negatives, but I was happy for my friends on the other side of the console street. Even with my newfound pseudo-friendship with Spidey, I wasn't ready for Into the Spider-Verse. My daughters let me know after the first preview how excited they were for the film, and I knew I would be in theaters opening night long before I knew any details about the film. What I didn't expect was to be thoroughly blown away by not only the best superhero movie of 2018, but in my opinion, the best Spider-Man movie ever made. I enjoyed the movie so much, like making thwip noises in the parking lot enjoyed it. I also wasn't ready for how good and infectious the soundtrack was. One of the biggest things that stood out to me was the concept of being ready. As the movie is steamrolling near its third act and prepping for the climax, we see that Miles is still hanging on to the other spider folks as a crutch and has yet to fully let go and embrace his powers. His insecurities are far more evident than his abilities. To be fair, he didn't exactly have a long time to get all this together, and it was a lot to deal with in a short time. He wasn't moving at a pace the world around him needed him to move. Once they are deep in the spider lair, he is bombarded by all his cross-dimensional counterparts as they impatiently demand he rise up and show his abilities. We may not be faced with people punching us and telling us to turn invisible on command, but it is easy to let our circumstances make us think we aren't capable of actually rising up to meet our challenges. When Miles was overwhelmed with anxiety and frustration at his circumstances, he did what many of us do. He ran away. Sometimes it's hard to live up to what others expect for you to be or to accomplish. Even when they are encouraging you, it can still be a daunting task to believe it for yourself. Miles is far from the first person to deal with this problem. Back in the time of Exodus, Moses and Miles had a lot of similarities. Exodus 3, beginning in verse 10, says, "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" Moses was told by God that he was God's chosen instrument to free Israel. And Moses responded with, "Are you sure I'm the right one?" Then after God reassured him, Moses clapped back with, "But what if they don't know who you are?" Just like Miles and Moses, our insecurities can make our abilities, calling, and effectiveness seriously seem questionable. The people in Miles' life weren't exactly instilling confidence with their interactions, but Moses literally had the creator of the universe telling him he was enough. Sadly, Moses was still not prepared to accept this truth. Moses goes on in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, to flex his insecurities before his creator. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you?" He was so bound up in his own shortcomings and how others would perceive his calling that he couldn't accept that God told him he was ready. God was so gracious to him, though, and continued to give him the assistance he needed to be ready. God prepared him with signs and miracles and told him step by step what he needed to do, but it wasn't enough. Picking up in Exodus 4, verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Even with God himself offering to literally back Moses each step of the way, he still wasn't ready. Miles was in a less omnipotent but equally supported situation. Miles had 6 different spider folk plus Aunt May pouring life, encouragement, and support in him. Yet in spite of that, he couldn't rise above his own securities enough to become the hero he needed to be. Finally, faced with an ultimatum to rise up or be left behind, his squad left him alone and tied to a chair because he wasn't ready to be the hero he was meant to be. Before they were gone, Miles asked older and fatter Peter, when will I know I'm ready? Peter responded with the seemingly not so helpful but entirely true statement, you won't. It's a leap of faith. That's all it is, Miles. A leap of faith. Moses wasn't tied to a chair with webbing, but he was bound up in fear and insecurity. He wasn't willing to accept who God said he was. He wasn't willing to become the man he was called to be. Like Miles, he wasn't ready to take the leap of faith. Sadly, that's where many of us live our day-to-day lives. God has called us, God has enabled us, God has equipped us, but at the end of the day, we weren't willing to take the leap of faith. Let's leave Miles tied in a chair for a second and look at how God responded to Moses in Exodus 4, beginning in verse 14. The Lord's anger burned against Moses when he said, wait, hold on, stop for a second there. Did you read that? Did you hear that? Do you understand that? God gave Moses help, supernatural backing, and direct instructions that he needed to succeed. Moses still cowered, and God's anger burned against Moses. God had every right to be angry, and whatever way God wanted to manifest his anger would have been justified. Yet as we keep reading, seriously, keep in mind that at this point, God is burning with anger towards Moses. Let's jump back in scripture, moving on. What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and if you were God, and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform signs with it. Moses gave God excuse after excuse and then still told God no. God, in turn, gave Moses more grace and compromised to meet Moses where he was with his fears and insecurities. Even in the midst of God's burning anger, he poured out grace and encouragement and strength. Know that there is never going to be a time that God is going to ignore you when he calls you. When you are scared, even to the point of angering God, he loves you and has your back. Even when Peter was sidelining Miles, the whole spider squad was waiting outside, hoping that he would rise to the occasion. He let them down in that moment, but after a short, one-sided pep talk from his dad and a costume change later, he was ready to finally make the leap. Having help and encouragement is helpful, but at the end of the day, when the moment counts, it boils down to you. Are you going to walk in fear and let your circumstances and insecurities dictate your actions, or are you going to take a leap of faith? Moses took his baby steps, but he eventually rose up and took his leap. We are living in the faith and history that followed his leap. Miles rose up and saved the multiverse. There's going to come a point in your story where you will be able to look back and see what you accomplished because you stopped walking in fear and actually took the leap. What story do you want to be able to tell when you stopped waiting to be ready and started living in the strength and power God has given you? Jack Canfield is credited with the statement, "Everything you want is on the other side of fear." I don't know about everything you want, but I can tell you that if fear is standing between you and anything God is calling you to do, you're going to want to be on the other side of it. There is nothing stopping you from getting to the place God is calling you, except your own ability to trust him. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Don't wait to be ready. Trust where God is leading you. Step up. Look your fear in the face and say, "What's up, danger?" Then take the leap.